Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And you're listening to The Conspiracy That's Making Conspiracies Fun Again.
The podcast. That's what we got here.
Oh,
it's a podcast.
Let's just do that all
No, I think it's great.
We'll okay. All right. Well, you're listening to Conspiracy Beer Me. Today we're talking about be careful with that axe, Eugene.
Be careful with that axe, Eugene. Is this
the subtitle is the Axe Murders of Valeska, Iowa.
Ooh. I've been to Iowa many times.
You haven't been to Valeska?
No, I have not.
Okay. I don't think anybody
has. Nobody has. Not after those murders.
Not after these murders. Well, you know, we'll get into it. It's a crazy story. Very excited to talk about it. Always would like to thank our patrons for supporting us and our Spotify premium.
Yeah, a lot of you have signed up for that recently.
Really great. Thank you so much. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, $5 for extra episodes a month. We have merch. If you want any of the album art that we do on our shirts or on our album art is available on shirts and merch. Okay. So if you want any of that.
We got new hats coming.
We do, yeah.
But they're only available in person.
That's right.
We're cutting out the middleman.
Yeah, the internet. Who needs it?
We're going old school.
Yeah.
They're going to be cool. It's the trucker's cap, which is my favorite style of cap.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my favorite of the trucker cap styles.
Nice. Well, all
right. Low profile. So we're excited. And we're excited to have you in the studio. If you'd like to join us for a live recording, just reach out to us via our internet site.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Can't get a hat there, but you can get us there.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Well, good. All right. Well, I am very excited to have our guests on today. We were lucky enough to be a guest on their podcast, The Tobin's Talking Shit.
Yeah. It was so much fun.
It was a hilarious time. They are local Raleigh podcasters, and perhaps one day they'll stand in front of an audience and do comedy. They are comedy fans.
We'll see.
Patience.
But nonetheless, they are the Tobin brothers. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me.
Hey.
Hey, thanks.
We're the Tobins. Paul.
I'm Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, who's older?
Chris. Wait, hold on.
Like
4
years.
I was going to say guess.
I think he's older.
Yeah,
and I think you're twins.
You're right.
Well,
I work at the fair guessing people's.
You did the coins in the pocket trick.
So you guys are from the mountains, but then in Cary.
Yeah,
which is the suburb of Raleigh. For those who don't know.
Yeah, we actually grew up in Cary, but we lived in the mountains for a while. I lived in Greensboro for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boone. Asheville, Greensboro.
Yeah, we spent our formidable years here. And then I went off to, like, in 2012, lived in Boone for 12 years and then moved back here. And Chris is living in Greensboro and all.
Oh, that's right.
So, yeah. Carolina Central. But,
And you guys have a lot of connections inside the Raleigh community in different ways: art, music, food, restaurants, bars. Yeah.
It wasn't purposefully cultivated, but it just kind of happened that way.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's fair.
First time I met you guys, and we've never we met at the Comic Con. What is it called?
Animazement.
Galaxy Con.
I don't know what the hell they were at.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing. So that's when we first met you guys.
Yeah.
Well, I first met you.
You guys were doing stand up there.
We were.
And someday we'll do an actual live show.
Was Lisa running it that time, or was somebody else?
Tyler was running it.
Mm-hmm. Because
who was Lisa?
Lisa Correa. She's a stand-up comedian. She's out of Florida. She used to be like a school teacher, but now she's just a full-time comedian. She's open for like Patton Oswalt, Gilbert Gottfried. She used to actually be Yakov Smirnoff's personal assistant.
Yakov.
Hell yeah.
What a country.
What a country.
So she's like never been to Russia and being like, in Russia, it sucks.
That's funny.
That was
the age of comedy where you had to have like a what a country, like everyone had a tagline like that. Like
I tried to have a tagline in my jokes. I had never made it work though.
Well,
the tagline was "No bueno." But I never had any jokes.
How did that
with
work?
It. They never
no
went.
Bueno.
People were like, "Something doesn't add up."
Yeah,
about
they're like, "What?"
The visual that I'm seeing and the audio that I'm hearing.
I'm gonna make it work one day.
That's no funny bueno. When you write the tagline, but you haven't written the premise or the punch.
That's usually how I write jokes backwards.
That's how SNL. They start with a.
Well, you guys ever been to Iowa or no?
I'm trying to. I used to wrestle, so I've been a lot
it's a
of
weird
places. Seg. But not Iowa,
wrestling
the Buckeyes, man.
Oh yeah,
Iowa is a big wrestling state.
Yeah, it's a wrestling team. Yeah,
That's a sport that's dying out, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as like scholarships and stuff like that, they were already cutting those hard. Like.
Women.
What was the
Title IX?
Title IX. That's what it was. Yeah. So
well, the problem is football. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If schools that have no chance of ever winning a bowl game, except for something like the barbecue sauce bowl, would just cut their football teams, there'd be no Title IX problem. It's just back to we could have wrestling and all the other male sports we have to get rid of so that we can have. A dumbass game called football. So anyway, back to
I also liked that the idea was like not like, oh well, let's get a women's wrestling team. It was like, nah, just cut it. Cut the sport.
Iowa had wrestling. That's where you've been, you think?
I may have. I know it was
that's
Ohio,
how memorable Iowa is.
I don't even remember if I've been.
Well, it's beautiful. I love Iowa. Nice. It's a great state.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. I spent a lot of my youth in Iowa.
Are you kidding me?
No, I grew up in South Dakota. My relatives lived in Iowa.
Oh, northern Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. Where
this isn't
where
like
South Dakota touches it.
Southern Iowa is really different than northern Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been down there.
Yeah, I don't think you have.
I have a college degree, and you could tell me that Iowa is like five states away. And I would be like, that makes sense.
Sure,
It's in that part of the country where states get real square.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no. See, because like rivers.
The heartland.
Rivers create real weird borders. But then you get out there and there's like no water. You know what I mean? Like it's like their eastern borders have like the Mississippi and then out west you just get these straight. Yep. They just carved up land with no meaningful boundaries to it. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
But in the southwest corner along the railroad was a town called Villisca, Iowa.
Okay.
There is. Nothing notable about this town, save for what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It is a crazy story from 1912.
All right.
With a couple tags that come later.
Okay.
It begins on June 9th, 1912, when the Moore family, prominent family in the area, I don't think it took a lot in 1912 in Villisca, Iowa, to be prominent.
So, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were not. I think there were like just a handful of families.
Oh yeah,
What I'm trying to say is it wasn't like it wasn't the heyday of Villisca when it was like it was on the railroad, which was important.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was not a big town. But they were like a rich family, big house.
It's like, look, they got a bike.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They can rub two nickels together.
Yeah. It was really so the one of the daughters, Mary Catherine Moore, invited her friend. These are great names.
That's what
Ina May. And Lena Gertrude Stillinger.
Stillinger.
Ina May was 8. Lena was 12. I don't know that that's relevant, but it's in my notes.
Okay, so it might come back.
Well, it does come back, at least for Lena a little bit. So they got to spend the night there. So that evening, typical Saturday evening in southwestern Iowa, they went to a Presbyterian church where they participated and a Children's Day program, which the mother, Mrs. Moore, Sarah Moore, had coordinated. So, you know, you can see this sort of, I don't know, this early 20th century idyllic pre-depression, life's good, beautiful June, you know, summer morning or late spring. Mm-hmm. And they have the sleepover. They go to church. It's probably ate really well back then.
So this is like a lock-in. This is like a pre.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the lock-in was their slumber party at the Moore's, like mansion-ish big house.
Okay.
Again, my definition of a big house very different than some people's in this room.
Well, that's luckily that episode doesn't come bedrooms. Out.
But, sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I don't. Their house was a mansion, but again, like my grandmother lived in a mansion. But if I remember it, it was probably 2,000 square feet.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, like, houses are so big now.
But. Justin yelled at me because that last episode that died because it got lost. But a 730 some room house, I didn't think it was that big.
And I was like, oh, that's not
bad. He was like, your zip code has changed you. Yeah. And I just doubled down. And,
hold on. A 730?
No, 75.
So a 75 room.
75.
Oh, yeah, sorry. 75.
Because that would be ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's convention.
Yeah, no, 75 room. So see, you see what I'm saying? It's not that big.
All right.
Yeah.
Now that you
75.
Fucking peasants.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the scene on June 9th.
Okay.
June 10th, the morning after. The neighbor, always a nosy-ass neighbor,
always
gets concerned because she hadn't seen the Moore family engaged in their morning chores.
Oh.
Mm. Which I think is very telling of a difference in, say, 1912 and 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Like, my neighbors would be concerned if they saw me doing morning chores.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd be like, why is that guy up on Sunday doing...
Yeah, he's on methamphetamine. Sure,
yeah, like something's going on next door. You know, I mean, it's, I think it... Like, when I read it, because the neighbor went and let their chickens out, and that's when I was like, maybe it was like a chicken rooster thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like maybe like the neighbor's like, oh my God... Let that damn rooster out.
Yeah.
Let, you know, like, because, you know, like my dog will bark in the morning and it's always like, which me or my wife going to let the dog out?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think if you have like backyard chickens and roosters in 1912, there's some morning tending to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she was like, that's a little weird that they would just let the rooster, just keep go nuts.
Rolling, yeah.
So she alerts a friend. They go knock on the door. Mm-hmm. No answer. And again, it's uncharacteristic of the upstanding Moore family. So then after no response, they called Mr. Moore's brother.
Okay.
And he had a key and he came over, unlocks the door.
Weren't keys back then just.
Yeah.
They were just two notches and it's like everyone had the same key. Like, why do you.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, you had to go get somebody with a key because as a latchkey kid that also smoked weed and lost shit all the time. I've broken into a house several times without a key.
Yeah.
How hard was it to break into their house?
Well, construction was better back then.
Yeah.
It was craftsmanship.
Yeah.
You know, they believed in good quality work.
Yeah. I broke, the last house I broke into was in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we biked from Raleigh, me and these three other guys biked from Raleigh to Charlotte, 175 miles.
Wow.
And then when we got there, one of our friends had a friend who had a place near where we ate dinner that's like he said we could crash at. So we got to that place. We're wiped out tired.
Mm.
And it's locked. Nobody's home. And we're like, what the fuck? Like, and then it's cold. Like, we're all like really cold. And so we find out that like the bathroom window is unlocked.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like one of those small bathroom windows and it's up high. Mm-hmm. So we lifted him up and we like Superman hemmed into the bathroom and he let us in. And it was cold in the house and we didn't have like really any place to sleep. No one was there. Somebody came home and at some point one of our buddies woke up and said that like there was like a furry orgy going on because people were walking upstairs with furry costumes on. And then we figured out that we were not in his friend's house.
Yeah.
We had broken in to like this house where like it was like we're like, you don't really know your roommates. And like Eric said, like, yeah, we're friends of John and the furries just kind of let it go. So then we got to like the next morning, none of us slept well because like, I don't, so we I woke up. I was like, I'm out of here. And so we all went back to this.
I love that they're like, we have this whole orgy planned, but here's some unexpected guests on bicycles with sleeping bags.
Yeah, right, right.
Fine.
Yeah,
That fits what a furry would do.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they seem like pretty stories, flexible. So
it's like, who am I to judge? I'm in this.
Yeah.
Who's, I don't want to be an asshole.
They seem like they're in shape.
Yeah, so it was really bizarre.
I don't think I'd have slept well either.
Yeah, we didn't.
Well, after that.
Yeah, no.
Like, the bed I slept on had no blanket. Mm, like, it was just
classic.
Sheet. So, like,
I went. You gotta use the pillow for the blanket to keep warm.
I was so tired and so cold. I put a bath towel over me that I found that was not a clean bath towel.
Yeah, I'm sure not. Covered in fur.
No, it was awful. But then we biked to the. To what's called the Smelly Cat Coffee Shop in Charlotte, named for the Friends song.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was first to arrive, and then soon after, like, one person, the rest of the group, and Eric's the last one, and he's like, oh, shit, John just texted me. And he's like, where were you guys last night? We were like, we slept in your place. And he's like, no. It's like 1722. We stepped in, like, 1272 or something like that broke into.
Damn. And he's probably like, damn, oops. Those people are freaks. You broke into their house?
Wait. Yeah. And so hold on. How is there, like, not the line of communication where, like, somebody is like, these are not my friends.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend is not a furry. And
because we never talked. We couldn't. Eric was, I don't know what happened to him. He was supposed to be here. He wasn't.
Oh.
I think whoever lived in that furry house. Whoever lived downstairs wasn't really good friends with like
furries.
It was close enough. I think it's just like Charlotte where it's like was an apartment complex where like I don't really know my
roommate. Or maybe they were like, oh, Eric, is that like Snubby Cakes or whatever his like furry name was?
Yeah, that makes sense.
His name's Eric.
It was very that's the last time I broke in my house.
Crazy.
Now I think in 1912 you could break in.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know why they sent for the brother, but he had a key. Yeah.
Okay.
Proper. It's proper. Right.
It is.
They're Presbyterian. Proper. Yeah.
That's right. That makes sense.
Yeah. So they get him over there. He unlocks the door and he walks in and, he sees, the two guests, right? Ina May and Lena Gertrude, dead on the floor.
Okay.
And he's like, pause. Go get the peace officer, which I love. I love there's not a police officer. It's some guy named like Hank or something. I can't remember to write it down, but they go get the sheriff and he comes and like, and so he goes through.
Is police just a bad pronunciation of peace? Did it just get manipulated over the years where it went from peace to what it is now?
Instead of transitioning from police to peace, somehow devolved. It's just like the police.
The ultimate draw.
Yeah.
Police officer.
Police officer.
I've been a total tangent, but I have been speaking with like somebody that lives in, like, they're from the UK, and like the way they say no. Adds like four syllables, like no, sorry,
that's crazy. Sorry, no, I like it.
Well,
I mean, that's when they say words, what?
Yeah.
So this the word quickly spread that everyone in the Moore household had been killed brutally, crazy, and a couple of things go wrong at this point that'll be relevant later. Number one was that they didn't really preserve the crime scene very well. Like, I mean, it's 1912 and forensics was not, and like,
forensics was a mop.
Yeah. It was like, and so apparently, like, one story I read is that like over 100 people just like people heard, like, you got to go see the Moore House, man. They got chopped up people. And people were just coming in and out, like, what are you doing?
And
like,
and this charging rent.
Like, they had like a line of people.
The people from all over the town were just walking in to see the gruesomeness. It was like a freak show.
Yeah. That's crazy.
So then,
that's brutal.
So then they did this. And so then they didn't find any fingerprints, which again, fingerprinting was a relatively new thing at the time. But what they discovered is that all eight people in the house had been murdered with an axe.
Okay.
And let me tell you, this was one gruesome murder.
Yeah.
They found two spent cigarettes in the attic, and they theorized that whoever the killer was waited until the family was asleep, smoking cigarettes, and then came out of the attic and killed the parents first, right, while they slept. Then they proceeded to kill everybody else one by one and in their sleep, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, with an axe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you not hear that?
I don't know,
he's got strong
man.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
Like,
legit.
Yeah, we don't need to.
Couldn't have fit through a bathroom window and hung out without them knowing for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, he
his shoulders are too wide for that one.
And it's so weird that was true, because Eric is this really skinny friend of mine who's the only one that would fit.
Skinny. Yeah,
they think that once they killed everybody, they came back to the parents' room and just mangled them even more. Like the Mr. Moore's like eyes were like hacked out, like they hacked out of his head.
With an axe?
Yeah, with an axe. They
Jesus
filled up
Christ.
A. They somehow positioned a shoe to fill it up with blood.
What?
They had covered up all the windows, so they like killed them. Then they covered the windows so no one could look in, and then they covered all the mirrors.
Oh, weird.
In the place, like with cloths and stuff.
Maybe it was like a prank thing. You say you go in a room and it's like dark. You're like, what do I know? Maybe if I just put new shoes on, I'll feel better about it. And then you put it on, you're like, it's full of blood.
Well, 100% the covering the mirrors thing is like, it's like the like dish that you eat that's like a raw baby bird that you cover your head so that God can't.
They didn't want to see themselves.
Yeah, they were participating in animalistic, like, like intense, like, I killed everybody. Now I want more. But I'm gonna cover the mirror so I can totally indulge in this like whatever fucked up shit was going on.
Yeah,
yeah. I never knew. I never even thought about that as a thing.
They also made some important discoveries about the would be or not would be, but the killer or killers, because in the parents' room there were marks where the axe had hit the ceiling.
Holy shit.
So they were like, we can assume, I think ceilings were pretty low back then, but we can assume their height. And like the pattern was just pure chaos. Like somebody was like swinging an axe and like, just
crazy.
Like, and they found the axe laid out almost intentionally to be found with like a slab, a 4-pound slab of bacon next to it. And there was food and water set out around the house as if they wanted people to be able to eat, like they, like you were leaving food out for somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Were there dogs there?
No. Not at least that was...
Wait, so...
Were there people dressed as dogs?
No.
Furries, maybe?
Furries.
Fucking furries.
Just going to keep callback.
All right. This is one big callback.
But yeah, the shoe... shoe was filled with blood as if a cup to drink from. So they set out like a plate of food with a bloody sacrifice for the whatever.
Okay, so I'm a little high, but recapping... Axe murder in a house, 1912, June 9th, my birthday.
Shit. Well, maybe you're a suspect.
It was me reincarnated.
Added to the list.
But
pre-incarnated.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that. Wild axe marks, even on the ceiling, as if like unhuman capabilities to just be swinging this thing.
Yes. Yes.
And then also, not only like excessive damage on the people, but then... There's food set out.
Food set out like
throughout the house,
like but like a bloody meal of like
crazy.
As if somebody's gonna come later and eat it, like cooked,
or is it a offering to a god?
Something like that. It seems now one and only one of the victims seems to have been awake for her murder. That was 12-year-old Lena.
Brutal.
I think that's her name, Lena Gertrude. Yeah. There was evidence of a defensive wound on her arm, like tried to block the axe.
Mm.
Hers was the only body that wasn't like in a sleeping position. It was kind of across the bed. There was some evidence of at least an attempted sexual assault at of some kind. Like they, you know, and the reason that I even mentioned that is because it points the finger at least one of the potential suspects because these murders are completely unsolved.
Okay. Oh, to this day.
To this day, they are not solved. Shit. It's wow. the stuff that, like...
It's up to us, guys.
Yeah.
All right. We'll figure it out right here.
There's been lots of books written about it. Yeah. I'm going to give you... We're gonna cover, like, people that basically have nailed it down to, like, three
okay.
people.
Okay. Ooh. Still alive.
No.
Because if they are, you're like, that one's a vampire. They did it.
The first.
Inhuman strength. Yeah.
Okay, so look. Here's a furry suit. Let's put ourselves in June 9th, 1912, small town, southwestern Iowa. The Corn Belt. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
No.
It's the corn or the wheat belt. It's one of those.
It's in a belt of edible foods.
Yeah. But it goes over from the north to south, so it's kind of a weird belt.
It's called something.
I'm not wearing belts.
It's
like
the Heartland. Beautiful place.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Typewriter was
amazing. So there's a there's a out of character. This is one of those small towns where this stuff does not happen.
Right.
People are freaked out. Who's the first suspect, do you think?
Oh, the lumberjack.
There are no trees in this part of the country. There are no trees.
Oh,
in
yeah, this is the yeah grasslands.
Okay,
yeah. There's some trees, but so, not like a lot.
Who would you? I mean,
no survivor. Like
no survivors.
There wasn't like a dad that was not happened to not be it. So I don't know.
This is whoever's passing through town.
Who's my first suspect is the local clergyman, but.
Reverend George Kelly. Great.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Great guess.
Common
also,
sense.
Also, not uncoincidentally, he was also the local pervert, Reverend Kelly.
Oh, weird.
So they always go to the town creep, right?
That's not so uncommon.
Yeah.
That's
Well, this guy's always been creepy.
What a time.
But you know, I think it was different.
No, it's the same.
That small town reverend where, like, people said, you know, like, He apparently was a peeping Tom, and had several times apparently asked women wives to pose nude for him, which was so. I think there were like these kind of things about him that were a little creepy.
If I was him, and I was a peeping Tom. If anyone caught me, I'd just be like, just making sure you're not sinning in there.
Yeah.
I'm the eyes of God.
Yeah.
There's like five things that you can't do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's only like one or two things you can't do.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, I love that like maybe people were just like so wholesome that they were like, well, that whole abstinence thing, like celibacy.
Yeah.
You know, we give him a pass. Like, so he likes to watch.
Yeah. He's just a weirdo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he was which was typical. He was a traveling. He didn't. A lot of ministers didn't have like a church. They just sort of traveled and did churchy things in the area.
Interesting. So just snake oil.
So he had showed. So part of the suspicion was people were always like he's a creep.
Oh wow.
He shows up, but he's a minister, and then he showed up on June 8th, and he was gone June 10th. So like people like. Guy came into town and murdered some people.
Oh, wow.
And then they thought, because they suspect that somebody at least tried to do something sexual with that one victim, that guy's gone too far. So he was tortured until he confessed to the murders and then later recanted.
Jesus.
And he also showed an uncanny interest in the case, like, you know, like writing letters to the police and the victims and he was very informed of what was going on as if he had like a personal interest.
Right.
Like he was,
Yes.
How big were his shoulders?
Oh yeah. Good question.
He
wore black cause it was thinning.
I think he was older.
Get in a window.
Old man
swinging
strength.
Axe up and down.
I think today he would be described as schizophrenic.
Mm.
And so
is that like a scale of ripness?
Yeah. He's,
yeah. That sounds like
zebra.
So schizophrenic.
Oh, we gotta start that.
Yeah. Like, look at those muscles.
That dude, he's not ripped. He's schizophrenic.
Yeah.
Well, that's cops started to think that he was imagining his whole account because he, in his confession, which he later recanted, he was like, he was describing things that like did not happen.
Oh,
so
right.
It's like, but it wouldn't make sense for a crazy person to leave a fucking shoe of blood out in a slab of bacon.
Because that's a very sane thing.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting about those parts.
Yeah
that's right.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Yeah. 2 years after the murder, Reverend Kelly was arrested for sending obscene material through the mail, which I thought, wow, ahead of his time.
Yeah, he's a Hugh Hefner.
He fucking Pony Expressed obscene material.
That's awesome.
The first dick.
Right.
This guy wasn't like a politician or anything also. Right?
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I think those guys.
Reverend kind of, Wiener.
They were real Renaissance men. Yeah. He was sent to St. Elizabeth Hospital for, which is the national mental hospital in D.C. So maybe he was getting into politics.
Oh, maybe.
Because he was also sexually harassing a woman who worked for him, and he was arrested, and they tried him twice. Both times he got off. Hung jury.
What?
And was acquitted on the second time. There are people like who write, and they're like, that was the guy.
Really?
All the facts point to him, but the jury heard all the evidence, and I think the guy was just a lunatic.
Okay.
Why there were a bunch of lunatics, because how often does a non-related lunatic show up in Valeska, Iowa in 1912, the same night that murders go on?
Yeah, I don't know.
True.
Yeah.
That's a little coincidental now that I think about
right.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I bet it would have been hard to convict a clergyman in 1912 as well, though. I think the defense lawyer is just like, but Jesus, though.
Yeah, but Jesus. You
know? They're like, we found a bloody axe at his house, but Jesus.
Yeah, right. And also, even if
look
it
at
was,
his shoulders.
Ask for forgiveness.
Ask for forgiveness.
I'll do another beer on that. That was brilliant.
I didn't say it. Somebody, who said it?
You said it.
No, well, I didn't. You heard it, which is even better.
But here's why people... at the time, but also certainly now that people have written books about this, said that, hold up, like, let's do what modern police would do, which is let's look, are there any similar crimes? And in all fact, right. there were.
Oh.
Mm. 9 months prior on Colorado Springs, Colorado, there were two axe murders. One was in Kansas. Oh, there were two in Kansas plus the one in Colorado Springs, all within 9 months of the murders in Valeska.
And those are those close proximity?
No, but they're all on the same railroad.
Oh, so the same road, man.
So the same. The plot thickens. So
damn,
other murders. there were numerous murders committed along the Southern Pacific Railroad from 1911 through 1912. There's also related to what's called the Unknown Axeman of New Orleans. It was someone went into a house and killed numerous people. A lot of these have striking similarities to the murder that happened in Valeska. Often everyone's killed. It's all by axes, marks on the ceiling, the covering of windows, the covering of mirrors, the placement of like offerings around the house where people are like, this Valeska murder is related to these other murders.
Isn't like the covering of mirrors, that's like sitting shivas, right? That's like, isn't that a part of the...
Don't bring Judea. No.
I don't know. I don't know anything about...
Nothing this man says represents...
It just seems religious to me almost.
Oh, interesting.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, maybe. I don't
isn't
know.
That like when somebody dies...
Oh, yeah.
They cover all the mirrors in the house.
Oh, so like, might, yeah. might, you might be right. Yeah. That sounds right.
Look at you.
Like, you know,
big brained it.
Yeah.
I think they're just embarrassed.
Yeah. I don't want to watch you me killing.
Also,
I don't want you to see me.
Some poor pervert got blamed for all these murders when it was really, all right, train traveling hobos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're pervert hobos.
Yeah.
Maybe the minister was on to this.
True. Yeah.
Maybe he was on to him and he was following him.
Oh, yeah.
Probably because he may have been one at one point. If these people come into town randomly, they got to get there by the rails.
There, yeah.
Do you think there were people, you know, like in New York, there are like homeless people who like sort of live on the trains? Like, you know, they're just constantly riding trains in New York City and living underground. It's like a pretty common thing.
Well, the mole people.
Mole people.
Yeah, right. Do you think there were people back in 1912 that just lived on the railroad?
Like, oh, yeah.
Just back and forth. I get a sleeper car. It's cheaper than a house.
Probably.
I run scams. I run cards. I sell liquor. I'm just.
Freight. I mean, that would be really cool. Like, I bet you're absolutely right.
With that would be a cool trains,
but
life.
That absolutely existed on the freight.
Yes, I know about the hobos.
Yeah.
But that's a cool life, or a cool, at least, story.
It's a romantic life. But like it,
you're saying piracy is not a really it's not in real life.
It usually doesn't pan out.
Temperatures and you realize like how much you need like gallons of water. Like it's not an easy like you like to imagine like I just hop on a train and ride the rails. Well, like 5 hours into that, you would be very.
Oh, that's true today.
I gotta take a train.
All time.
You're right.
So,
yeah.
It is a hard life.
They do not pick.
And when it was popular, it was like very territorial, and people would like kill you and shit like that.
Oh, it was. Like, train robberies and stuff. What a fun time that would be.
Man, that should be a whole podcast.
What fucking just wild romantic times.
Yeah.
Man, well, or we should write a book or a screenplay.
But let's go back. This is what the pod's about. Let's go back to if you're a detective, right? The town creep was the first guy.
Okay.
Who's another suspect you might look about?
Single men.
You guys are really bad detectives.
They're family members.
Family members. What do you look for in a crime?
Does the wife have a brother or something?
Oh.
He's got a key to the door. I probably would look into the brother, but that wasn't who I was thinking of.
Yeah, I'm not
a detective. Every crime we think usually has a motive, and you say, well, who had motive to do this?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, lovers? Is the husband, stepping out and, like...
Right. Is there anything... Let's start digging into these mores, and maybe there's more going on. And in this case, he had an enemy in a small town named Frank Jones, who was his former employee.
I was going to say Frank Jones.
That's nuts. Yeah, I didn't trust my instincts.
He was a former employee.
So he was a former employee of Mr. Moore, who had split off and started his own kind of rival company. They were suppliers. I don't know what that means. Drugs or probably farm equipment.
Yeah. Were they called More Than More? That's what they should have been called. He's like, damn.
Even More.
Even More. That's even better. Just use my name against me.
I liked it. This is such a throwback. When I was coming up, phone books were like a real thing. And, so the phone book was listed, you know, alphabetically, and at some point, some company realized, well, if we're just AA Taxi, we're first in the phone book, so we get listed first, right? And then, like, people were like, well, we're AAA Taxi. So literally, you'd open the phone book, and the first, like, 60 listings are just AAA Taxi, and they're just, like, out trying to alphabetize
each other.
That's literally fucking true. It's so crazy.
I don't know why they wouldn't just do, I was going to say AB Taxi, but that would still fall below all those.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Damn, you're right.
We're 20A Taxi.
20, yeah.
Dude, numbers come before letters, because they could just say 20... Taxis, 20 taxis.
I think people, it was nuts. Like, and then they started where you could get a bigger font size or bold.
Oh, yeah.
I love that you had to throw the caveat of phone books were a thing. Like, I love that, like, the idea that there's a listener that's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'd say phone books used to be a real, you used to walk in restaurants, bars, and be like, hey, can I borrow your phone book?
Yeah,
and you
crazy.
Would look for
or there was one free on the street. It was disgusting. You didn't want to touch it because it was covered in God knows what. But
people would
there.
Go to pay phones and rip the phone book out. like a page.
100%. How hard.
Yeah. I was so how tired of that. Hard are I you? Bought a phone Kindle. Cause I got tired of dealing with that, so I had mine. it was like the evolution of the technology. Now it's just all on our phones,
phone books were a real thing.
Yeah, they were real.
So so this guy Jones is a little bit of a wild card in that he doesn't like the Reverend. Rumors that Reverend Moore was stepping out on his sleeping with his daughter, his adult daughter.
Oh,
So. Yeah. So this guy Jones, Frank Jones, had a real incentive, a motive to do this.
Okay.
Of course, like he's an Iowa State senator. Mm. People are like, the guy can't harm a fly. Like he's not. Also, he's short.
Yeah.
And like the fucking axe, whoever it was tall enough. They're like, had to be someone at least as tall to hit this.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're like, couldn't be him. But people were very suspect of this because. It was very like, only one man stands in the way of me taking over this town, and that's Moore. I don't know why I made him sound sexy and a little British.
Like, we're writing the script.
Like, I'm on this guy's side now that I hear his voice.
Wait, but so they had the murder weapon? Like
the person left the axe.
Beside the bacon.
That's where you leave an axe. You gotta oil it for next time.
As you said it, I knew.
Was there a light kit and like did it look like a studio, like they were taking pictures of that stuff, because that maybe it was like just a advertisement for the axe they're trying to produce?
Oh, that's a really long con game. There, that's way ahead of their time.
These are like are
in
so
2022
good.
If you're doing brought to you by conspiracy beer,
you're doing axe murder product placement in 1912. Because people are probably like, man, that's a tragedy, but that's a damn good axe.
That's a good axe.
You see those eight people silently. How good is that?
How good.
Fucked up the whole roof.
Chopped them up to bits. Yeah.
Well, the murders all seem to link together, and they all pointed to one man who had been in the sights of a detective in Kansas named Detective James Wilkerson.
Okay.
And the man's name was William Mansfield. And Wilkerson was a and this honestly is a great plot for like an actual movie. It's like Wilkerson's like closing in on Mansfield. And you can just imagine the Kansas detective walking into Iowa out of his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
And like, let me guess. Axe murder, right?
Yeah.
Covered the mirrors, left a slab of bacon next to the axe, and people are like, what? Oh, he's like, who's your commanding officer? I got to talk to him. And he's like, he's literally like, that's the scene. He's like, this is Mansfield.
Yeah, yeah. He's fucking Mulder.
Right.
Like yeah.
I can put him, I can put him here on this night. I can put him here. So he's just going to each, he's closing on a Mansfield that he's like, I know where he's going next.
Mm.
He gets there and it's like, the murder's already happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because the guy's on the train right now.
He's always one step behind.
Yeah. So Mansfield is, he'd been to all the different crime scenes, and each murder, they were hacked to death, mirrors were covered, and the windows. There was always a burning lamp and a chimney left at the foot of the bed, a basin in which the murderer washed their hands. They wore gloves, so they left no fingerprints. And so, like, he had found all these common threads. So he would come in, and he'd be like, you got this? Yep, it's one of my guys. This is these are his calling cards,
mm-hmm.
and it's Mansfield. They're closing in and they fucking catch Mansfield.
Oh shit.
Like, nope, right? Wasn't me. I've got a bulletproof alibi. Mm-hmm.
It's
like, let's hear it. And sure enough, he had an alibi where he was not even in the city, confirmed by an Iowa State senator.
Oh, shit.
And then they were like, which senator?
Yep.
Not Frank Jones. No, it was Frank Jones. It was Frank Jones. Mansfield's alibi came from the very Iowa State senator who had the most motive
crazy
to kill these people. And so many people believed that it was a hit job, that Jones hired Mansfield, who was a coke addict, to like stage this crime, whether to make it look like the other crimes because the senator knew about them.
Oh, yeah.
Or because he just was like, you know, like just this guy can do it and whatever.
I'm very sorry because I am pretty high, but like recap the motive for me.
Jones was a employee of Moore who had started a rival business, and Moore was sabotaging his businesses. Yeah.
Even Moore, it was called.
Yeah. While also allegedly sleeping with one of his adult children.
Okay.
Having an affair, basically.
Oof. Right, yeah.
So Jones got Mansfield, a drug addict, cocaine addict, again, ahead of his time.
Yeah, and that's when cocaine was good.
Pure.
It wasn't cut. It's a driven snow.
Grew it himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was, and then, so a lot of people were like, that's your suspect.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the theory of The Man from the Train, which is a book written relatively recently, and they claim that it was a different person altogether. It was a serial killer who traveled the train tracks. Just that one wasn't necessarily his, or it definitely wasn't Mansfield. They think it was Paul Mueller is his name, and he did these ritualistic killings and everything.
Did he die the day I was born?
Yeah, probably. Like, well, it takes June 3 years 9th. To reincarnate. Yeah. So maybe.
The one thing is that.
True. We talked about that last time.
Mueller's calling card was that he did often sexually violate one person in the house.
Oh.
So like,
weird.
Like, what a fuck.
Well, yeah, what a fucking nut. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I only violate one. I'll kill like seven, but what a calling card.
Yeah.
Jesus
Christ. I mean,
Christ.
You make your own rules just, when you're doing that stuff.
But you know, human existence is disgusting.
It is.
And I don't know why. Sure. Like, I can wrap my mind around, and let me tell you what I mean by that. I can imagine committing a crime of like financial gain.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like in your head, I could probably concoct a crime where nobody got hurt and a big insurance company just paid out.
Right.
And the money like was like this went to a good cause, not just my fucking lifestyle, but like,
yeah,
like that's the Robin Hood. That's Robin Hood was a criminal, but it's one that's like lovable.
I mean, yeah. I'll go on record where I used to love to steal. Like, I don't anymore, but, like, from a corporation or something like that. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
A harmless crime.
Yeah. I think, yes. I think
one
that's...
where you're axe murdering people.
Well, that's my point, is only, that if that's the most, like justifiable crime.
Right.
Like, at some point where, like, it doesn't really benefit you, it's just like, I just like killing people. Like, that's where it starts to be kind of insane to me, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're like to break into a house and kill people, eight people violently, not because you want money and stealing stuff. Like, no, nothing was ever stolen.
Yeah. Mm.
That's when cops are like, this is weird.
Right. Yeah. Because it means there's someone else. Because if he's not getting paid by doing it directly, someone is paying him to do it probably. Because it's just such a weird thing.
It's such a weird thing. It's like, And then to add on to that, this other thing, like, I kill people, but I also like one little thing more. That just reeks of insanity.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, is it crazier to say that I would hope that if I killed people, I wouldn't steal their shit? You know, like, is that crazy?
I think if you're killing
that integrity,
if you're killing
them, if I ever got to the point where I killed people,
if I accidentally killed a bunch of people, I still wouldn't purposely
killing people for just pure
if that's what
insanity.
Gets your nut, if that's your yeah. If that's yeah. your nut. Yeah. Then you don't. Why would I steal anything? I didn't come here to steal something. Yeah. I came here to like do this thing that it's
you're
like,
more fucked up if you rob them.
Right.
They often just take one thing.
Oh yeah, like a memento.
Not valuable.
Right.
Yeah.
The calling card. So
or leave one.
That's the first end to the story.
Oh,
in 1994, so you can see the time jump. as one would imagine, in 1994, the railroad, not as hot of a commodity no. to be next to.
No, not at all.
It's not a real...
Probably a lot more creepy people on it then than there was in the early days.
Yes. Honestly. So it's like living in a railroad town went out of fashion, like when the car... Like people
oh, I can go wherever I want now.
I don't have to take this route and go to this shitty town in the middle of Iowa, like, and I can just avoid this state altogether. The flyover states, they're the drive-by states.
Can you imagine a backseat driver on a train?
Oh my god,
turn left. It's like, it goes fucking straight.
We're turning left very slowly. So it had fallen, the house and the town had fallen into somewhat of a disarray. Still a charming farming community, but nothing going on. And somebody bought it and restored it to its 1912 elegance, right? Turned it into a haunted mansion where you could travel and spend $500 a night. That's in 94. I don't know what it costs now, but you can actually spend the night in the Valeska.
Oh, wow.
A haunted hotel where people have experienced all manner of insane things. There's a ghost that walks the halls dragging an axe along. They hear the screams and cries of children, right? Lights go out, offerings are left around the house from seemingly either no one or a really, really clever innkeeper who's I figured out how to make money in this shit town.
Hey, Mike, is this your bacon?
Well, is there? Is there ever bacon?
Yeah,
by my bed when
raw
I wake up,
bacon.
I'm like, what a haunting!
I know.
Slice yourself with an axe. That's a great.
I figured out by the temperature they leave it around 4 a.m. So we still have another hour to cook it.
So to make up for the haunting, they put an air fryer right there.
Yeah, it's great.
No, not a fucking George Foreman.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you know, yeah.
And fairness to our skeptics on this haunted house, the police, I like it because it's small town Midwest police. So it's like, they're like, funny thing is, nobody thought that house was haunted until 1994.
Oh, yeah.
Right. It wasn't until they made it into a haunted house that people started seeing ghosts. And it's like, they think it's just all just like in people's heads. Like, if you go to this place where a bunch of bad shit really did happen, and you believe it, you're going to see things that make you, you know, think you saw a ghost. And they're like,
which is fair. Yeah,
it is. And and I would say that's the end of story two, except 20 years later in 2014, a somewhat famous ghost hunter who would go around and sleep in haunted places went to this house in December and slept, you know, at the place, and they were there with paranormal observers. A team of people took it over and they were filming and trying to catch all that shit they do, when all of a sudden they heard a bloody scream at 12:56 in the morning, which the police said the murders took place sometime between basically midnight and 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
Whoa.
And they walked in to find that ghost hunter in a pool of his own blood with a self-inflicted wound into his chest.
Whoa.
People were like, he was not suicidal. In fact, he lived. I mean, that just tells you how much better medicine was. So he lived. They took him to the hospital. To this day, he will not talk about the incident whatsoever.
He probably was like, this is bullshit. What am I doing? I can't go back to my wife without a ghost or some story.
Or it, like, I mean, I could imagine being like eating too much acid. And like I'm trying to like reach the other world, and then being like, I'm the portal man, and then shooting myself in the chest.
Yeah,
and
I can see that.
Steven Lorsen surviving.
Yeah. Yes, thank goodness.
Thankfully, the owner of the house, not thankful. She was like, I want people to come here. She literally was like, this is not the publicity we want. I don't want people thinking when they come here that they could die, actually. That's bad for business. She's not wrong.
It's a shocker. And her grandpa comes in with a mop and he's like, I did forensics. I got this covered.
I know we got to... We got to get out of here. But let me just say, like, what I final thought for me. My final thought is that, and I still think it's just striking to me that in 1912, like a multiple victim axe homicide happens.
Yeah.
And they're just letting people just wander through the house, gawk at it.
Hey, like, look, I left boot prints.
Yeah. It's like,
get out of the blood.
I want to take some with me, Mom. Yeah, yeah. Or like a, I mean, that's actually not that unbelievable.
It's not. It's not.
People we would go to like national parks with my dad and, you know, growing up, and, you know, and he would just be like, grab yourself a piece of that redwood. You know, we would like just take precious. You know, like now, nowadays, it's just like you don't take anything from the park. Back then, we were just taking shit left and right from volcanoes.
And then you're why the sign's up now.
Yeah. I have a lot of cool shit in my house I'm not supposed to have. Taken from national seashores and parks.
I mean, that would be my final thought, too, is that look how far we've come in evident, like, like at that point, even in 1912, they were like, well, clues is clues. And like, ain't you walking around ain't going to hurt anything. Yeah. And like, like what is blood? Like they didn't have DNA testing or anything like that.
They didn't have DNA. Yeah.
No, they had taste testing.
Like, they didn't have any DNA. Their whole body was just yeah, they were genetically.
That's why I give credit to the crazy Kansas detective who figured out that there was a serial killer on these trains, because you got to know, like, he's talking to the chief. The chief's like, why do you care? He's on a train headed for the next town. He's like, because we got to catch this guy. He's like, he's not going to bother us. It's not our problem anymore.
That's right. We're not even on the tracks.
He's out of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, he's out of your jurisdiction. Let it go. Grasping his straws. It's like, no.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah,
it's a great movie plot.
Yeah, man.
Man on train and just a 1912 setting with a detective tracking down a fucking coke addict. Coke addict, serial killer on train ahead of his time. Product placement.
We'll just write it in the future.
Yeah,
where people ride railroad.
It goes reverse.
Yeah, we're gonna. Trains in space, I would love in a movie.
Yeah, or even like space trains. You're in if space. You want to shorten it. What?
No, it's trains.
Not the space title.
Not space
trains.
Like,
space trains is. Yeah.
I do like. I hadn't thought of that, but that's a really strong point.
You're in space, but you got to take a train.
You know well, what
to,
it'll be?
Still.
No, because whatever the way to whatever the first way to get to Mars is, like whatever Elon Musk come up with, and it's like 400 people can get there in 6 months. Mm-hmm. Well, like. The next generation is going to have, like, why would you take a spaceship when you can take a teleportal? Because I can't afford it. So you spend 6 months flying to Mars, you can get there in, like, 6 seconds through a portal.
Right.
And you're like, I don't like to go through portals. They scare me.
Yeah.
There are people that will take the slow way.
Yeah.
Non-portals.
And they'll rebrand it. They'll rebrand it to make money, too. They'll be like, it's a cruise.
Yeah, it's space. Fun. Yeah,
they'll have a blue alien that
sings
music.
We're going to stop by the moon. You get to get your photos. And like, we're going to go through an asteroid belt. It's awesome. It's
only
like,
one in five die.
That's right. So bring it for your friends.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the people that first go to Mars, like, I think it's going to happen in my lifetime. But like the first, like, if you come to Mars, we guarantee you 3,000 acres in your own. Like, do you think the first pioneers who go up there deserve, like, to have substantial stake of land in a new territory? Because that's what we did in America.
Yeah.
We also took it from the indigenous people.
They become the Microsoft.
Right.
You're brave enough to go.
Yeah.
100%. But you know what people would do is they'd hire people to go for them.
Right, that's what
it would be a business. Definitely. You're like, buy this tract of land. Sure. It's just big business owning Mars.
Yeah. Fuck. All right. Zoom final in. Thought, Chris of the Tobins.
Yeah, I agree with the... it's a fucking raving lunatic on a fucking train. I mean, it was that made the most sense. I don't know. I want to go stay in the house now, though.
I've never
seen a ghost. Well, so I want to go see one.
There's other places to see one.
There's closer places. There's a haunted house in Iowa. I'm going to go.
That's
a tough sell.
You sold me as a travel agent.
Oh, man.
On a trip to Iowa.
Ghost tours.
If you're the proprietor of the haunted house in Valeska, Iowa, we will gladly let you sponsor this episode.
Yeah.
In exchange for four room nights.
Yeah.
It could be four rooms for one night. It could be one room for four nights. We get to decide. Four room nights.
Yeah.
You get to pick the time of year, and we will come out there.
And we'll
We're just sending Chris and a mop. That's all.
I will cover myself in bacon and sleep in the most haunted room.
Yeah.
I'm not scared.
Yeah. We're reporting.
Well, I'm going to send that. I'm going to be like, hey, we just did your podcast. You want to sponsor it?
Yeah.
While we want that's a barter. That's a good trade for
sure.
They have a time of year where they're slow.
But we also are going to release this anyway.
No, we're going to bleep it out. We're going to call the hotel in Illinois, Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Shane, what's your final thought?
Final thought. That's wild. There should definitely be a movie about this person or character.
Oh, yeah.
But let's stop. Glorifying serial killers.
So I want to be the detective to be the
high-roaded.
I mean, as I say, don't glorify serial killers, but we'll make jokes about the situations and the poor people that passed for an hour. But it's fine. But it's fine. So don't glorify it. Make fun of it. Do what you got to do to get through. No, I don't know. I wonder if he just had that senator like come up there like, I know about this. I would love that, like, he's like, I heard this lore that there's a serial killer out there. And that was before serial killers were a thing.
No, I mean, I think Jack the Ripper was the
but the term serial killer, based on that show, they said they didn't come up with that term until the 60s. It was it had a different name.
Just a killer.
Yeah. But then it became a serial killer. So, yeah, I don't, for him to even have that knowledge is pretty interesting.
Wow.
And I wonder what if all these killings were to hide the other things? Like, what if it's not just a serial killer? What if it's a network of rich people that are like, if you kill a bunch of people right here, it hides the problem we had. And they just, it's a telltale sign of rich people killing.
How do we know you killed them? Axe next to the bacon.
That's right.
And a cup full of blood.
That's right.
Dude, the story keeps jumping to like 1994 and like, or like even more recent times. I don't think that there's a time in history where if you found somebody hanging out by the train tracks that you couldn't be like, here's $700. I need you to go wildly swing an axe around and murder a person.
It could have been a bunch of different people.
Oh, you're right.
Fucking it's the Illuminati. Right.
It's a businessman on a train. He's like, you know what the fun prank is? Watch this. Hey, buddy, go just kill a bunch of people. Here's some money.
I'll give you more if you do this. Yeah. And that way they get the news out.
You know
just
what?
A bunch of rich people making
money. We're already making fun. Just said that this is crazy. Nothing to joke
about. There's a famous famous court case.
No, that's what we've been doing.
That's nuts. I forgot about that.
So wait, that happened?
Yeah, there's a really famous court case where it's almost too gruesome. I'm going to change it slightly because it's the real facts are too gruesome.
Okay.
Where they arrested a husband. No, sorry. So a husband paid a bunch of guys to murder his wife, but it was a setup. The guys thought that she was in on it. Like it was like a prank, but it was real. Mm-hmm. The guys that did the crime didn't know that. So people have like gotten people to commit crimes for money that they didn't realize like, you know.
It's for a TikTok.
Yeah. Just shoot this gun up in the air. I swear it's you know, and then like it's like a real
crazy.
Well, that's a dark turn to the end of the pod. Let's just call it out.
Maybe.
Good times were had by all.
Okay.
We discussed this axe murder. Right.
Before we get out of here, guys, where can our folks find your podcast and whatever you want to pitch at the crowd?
Well, I'm gonna be at working it out the next Monday night at North Street Bar. I'll be there viewing.
I'll be at a CVS at 12. I gotta go to Harris Teeter.
If you want to join me at the Popeyes,
here's my times.
I'll just be hanging out.
Yeah.
Tobin's talking shit.
Yeah. On Apple Podcast, on Spotify, on SoundCloud.
Nice.
At Tobin's Talking Shit on Twitter, Instagram, and at Tobin's Talking Shit on Facebook.
almost 200 episodes.
And we have a website.
Just randomly spewing shit this.
Yeah, 4 years of us. It's
shit
it's
stories.
Basically, yeah, yeah. 4 years of shit stories.
Yeah.
I love There's some good ones in there. And some fucking
I've never
terrible
laughed so
ones.
Hard.
Sometimes it's forced.
Let me just say, if you... Oh, go sorry.
I just thought forced and shit. My bad. You go.
No, that's fine.
No. It was
sorry,
terrible.
I catch up. So on the pod we did with them, I said in my poop story, it involved Febreze, but I talked to my friend who was there, and he said it was actually Pledge.
Okay.
So we polished.
So you're a liar. I knew
which is, yeah, they literally pointed out to me, like, your story means you polished a turd then. I was like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, that's
you're right. Yeah.
Well,
so listen to that episode.
It's been a blast to have you guys on.
No, thank you so much.
You.
Yeah. Like, it's always great to see you guys soon.
Hell yeah.
We are always trying to make conspiracies fun again, and you guys have helped. Thank you for listening to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
Now I'm Shane Smith, and this was
The Tobin's Talking Shit.
Peace.